of life. Drink from your fountain that flows from your mountain. Let me feast from the Father's supply. Oh Lord, feed your children as we stand here willing to eat from the table of life. Drink from your fountain that flows from your mountain. Let me feast from the Father's supply.
God bless you. We greet you this morning in the name of the Lord. And as we go to prayer, I want to ask you, I meant to ask you, and I don't think I mentioned Brother Rohan on Wednesday night, but, yes, Brother.
Joe, when I sent my daughter to the beach, and they asked me to pray for them, but I forgot.
Okay. Praise the Lord. So, Brother Gomba reminded me that Joe and Asenath, they're traveling, they're on vacation this morning. So we want to remember them. They ask for prayer that the Lord will give them travel and mercy and give them a good time while they're away. And we want him to bless them so much. And I think I failed on Wednesday night. I had it right here. And to pray for Brother Rohan, he fell and he's hurt himself. And so we want to ask you to put him in your daily prayer. That God will strengthen him and physically and in the revelation. And so he said there's some things that he's struggling with a little bit. He's not understanding, but he believes God is able. And so he's been listening for a long time, and we know that we met him there. Brother Gomez met him there, and so we're believing that God will give healing to his body and revelation to his soul. And so let us bow our hearts now. Heavenly Father, we thank you again and again, Lord, for your mercy and grace. We thank you for the privilege that we have to come together, Lord, to worship you in spirit and in truth. And Lord, many times we think not on the depth of these things, Lord, but what an hour it is, Lord, that there's a group of people, Lord, that you placed here, that you bred this one and that one and this one and that one, Lord, to bring this group of people here this morning. Lord, that you would, those attributes that were in your mind before the foundation of the world, Lord, you have placed them there in those vessels of flesh. And Lord, that you brought them the fullness of the Word, the fullness of the Spirit, Lord, in this day, to manifest the attributes promised for this hour. And Lord, what a privileged people we are, Lord, to be a part of this great unfolding, this great manifestation, Lord. Lord, may you bless each one. Bless your body around the world, in every nation and in tongue and kindred, Lord. Strengthen them, guide them, Lord. Remind us daily that this is the hour that there would truly be a people to worship you in spirit and in truth. And Lord, that's only by the filling of the Holy Ghost and the revelation of the Word. And Lord, take the furtherance of this service. Speak to our hearts now, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. It's good to see each one. And we're always happy to be here and happy to be able to share the Word of God. And so this morning I want to get right into the message because I have a lot. And then I'll just tell you after the service, I'm going to move out quickly. I have a meeting with somebody that I need to take care of. And I could only do it today because of the circumstances. And so, but I don't intend to cut this short. But I'm sure we won't finish because we never do. But God is good. And then the one more thing I wanted to say, and I forgot to bring it, Sister Esther, I have something for you at home, and I forgot to bring it. And so if I don't say it now, I'll forget about it at the end of the service because I'll be in a rush. But if you can come by the house, if you have just a minute, just a couple minutes, the wife can give it to you. And so I think that's all the business. All right. So we want to continue to pray one for another. And let's pray for those that are not here this morning. We're missing several. And so we want to always hold them up in prayer. God knows the reason. And we know their heart is to be where they can worship Him. And we say those things, and then we want to correct ourselves, because wherever you are, you're going to worship. But the Word tells us to forsake not the assembling together. And so when we come together, God gives a special blessing to that. And then when we're not able to come, He gives a special blessing, because we have the ability to listen to the messages at any time, day or night, anywhere in the world, anywhere in the world. There's never been a day. There's never been an hour like this hour. And so it's just a great thing. And so, but we love to come together and have the fellowship, and there's something about it. You know, Brother Adam said, the scripture says when you're praying, one person, one believer, can put 1,000 devils to flight. Is that right? 1,000. So he said two puts 10,000. Now that's some kind of multiplication. That's some kind of powerful multiplication. And so that's why we want to pray one for another. And that's why we want to come together, because there's a power. There's a presence of God when we come together like this. And we thank God for that. And it's not any one of us. It's every one of us. It's everyone, because that's the body and that's the Word. So we're still talking about the gift. Now, I've put a little title there, The Real Gift is the Soul, because I'm going to read that quote this morning. But I'm going to actually spend my time in the rapture message. But there's, you know, when we talk about the gift, we know who we're talking about. He's the gift. He's the gift. The life of God, that's the real gift. And so, but He's given many gifts, and He's expressed Himself in so many ways. And so this is one of them right here we're going to start with. In the Queen of the South, this is in 1957. Then we notice again that through every age, God has somebody, someplace that He can lay His hands on and work through that person. God has somebody. And Brother Branham, like I said, and I haven't been looking for the quote, I haven't found the quote or been really looking for it, but Brother Branham said there's one gift to the age. There's one. Okay? Now, there's many gifts, but there's one gift. And so that gift came upon the earth in the flesh of a man by the name of William Branham. That was the gift of God to the world in this last days. So he's never been without a witness since the world began. In every age, he's had witnesses. And back in the time that we're now facing in the great golden age of Israel, so this is his message that he's talking about back in the days, and he titled us the Queen of the South. We know how she traveled for months across the desert to go see the gift of God in that day. That there was a gift of God in Israel that was being expressed out to the people, and everybody that came to Israel left Israel testifying of what God was doing, because it was so great and it was so powerful that they were marveling. And you know how when you get a story, and you know how it gets sensational and it gets greater and more sensational and greater, and everybody tells it, inflames it a little bit more, you know. And so this queen down here, she's listening to these people and she's thinking, well, it can't be all of this because everybody inflates it. But she said the opposite. Yes, she said the opposite. When she went and she got it firsthand, she said, this is greater than what, and you know how people, they really pour it on when they're telling the story. Well, she said, this is greater than anything I ever heard. All the stories that came my way, this is greater than that.
Yes, sir.
Praise be to God.
Amen.
And so will this message be, and this gift today, when it happens to you personally.
That's right.
That's the difference. Somebody can come and tell you and be fired up and excited and all of that. But when you get it personally, that it does something to you way down on the inside that nobody can reach, that only God can reach down in there and quicken that life, quicken that soul. And that's the beauty of this thing. See, back in that time that we're now facing in the great golden age of Israel, God had gifted a man by the name of Solomon. And he's known all through the world where the Bible is read as a man of wisdom. And he prayed God to give him wisdom to lead the people. See, so this was literally a gift from God. This was literally God sending a gift on the earth for the people of that day and that hour. That's right. So when this gift, when a gift is given to the church, now listen to how he brings it up to us. When a gift is given to the church refuses to hear that gift. Then the gift becomes of non-effect. We have scripture talking about that in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of man. Huh? So they make the word of God of no effect by their ideas about it. So, but when they fail to receive the gift of God, then it becomes of none effect to them. But when the gift is given to the church and the church receives it, and Brother Branham talked about this many places. He said, when the people embrace what God is giving, when the people embrace that, when they take it unto themselves and say, this is a great thing. This has never been done before. Is that right?
Right.
Now, remember now, and I know that people struggle with these things because when we talk about, okay, we have a prophet that created squirrels, three different occasions. We have a prophet that spoke to the storm and stilled the storm. Okay? We have a prophet who opened blinded eyes. Okay? And these people, they testified to these things. Now, we'll admit that he was on the mountain alone when he spoke to the storm. But when he came down the mountain and he stopped in at the little store,
yes,
the people said, this is a strange thing.
Right.
We never had anything like this happen before. Said there was a storm predicted it was going to be a severe snowstorm and everything, all the roads were going to be closed down, and said, then all of a sudden, and even all of the men that was hunting in his hunting party, the ones who could afford to be snowed in stayed. All the rest, they didn't have a vehicle that could travel through that. They got off the mountain, got out, went down, went back home. But there was a few that stayed, and those that stayed, no, Brother Branham instructed everybody. He said, now, when that snow starts, he said, you run fast as you can down that mountain. And he said, get back. He said, because in a few minutes, he said, those snowstorms are so severe, you can't see in front of your hand. And you don't know which direction you're going. You lose your direction. And said, you'll freeze out there and die. He said, but as soon as it starts, you said, you see a flake of snow, you run back down to the camp and get back here. And they would travel out sometime walking a couple miles, 2 or 3 miles around the mountain. So if it started snowing, they had quite a ways to travel to come back to the camp. So he told them, do it immediately. And so if they stayed there, God turned the storm away. He spoke to the storm. It went away. A few days later, he's leaving. He stops in a store. He asks about the weather. He said, oh, this is nice weather. And the man said, yeah, it is. He said, this is a strange thing. Said, the forecasters predicted a great storm. And said, it started and said it just like that, it went away. So there was people that knew. There was people involved in it. Even though he stood there alone and spoke to it, there was people that knew something had happened, something supernatural. Those people whose blinded eyes were opened, they knew. They knew and they testified. And there was a man who sold newspapers on the street corner, blind, selling papers. He testified that he was healed when he still couldn't see. And he said he went for 2 weeks testifying, praising God on the street corner, blind as could be. He said he went into the barbershop one day and he was testifying that he was healed, and they started making fun of him. They started laughing at him. And said they put him on the barber seat and he sits down, they put the cloth around his neck, you know, to protect you. And so they're still making fun of him, laughing, and he's telling them, I'm healed. And at that moment, his eyes opened. Right then, in the barber shop, in the chair, God healed him and opened his eyes, and he screamed out, and he got up and ran out the door with the cloth still on him, praising God. There was many people testifying that it happened, testifying that they saw it with their own eyes. The things that happened in this day, the gift of God that went around the world, huh? It does something to people. It does something. One of two things he's telling. People either refuse it, they ignore it. And when they're ignoring the gift in their presence, the gift in their day, the gift in their hour, they're reading a Bible and saying, and reading about Noah, and reading about Moses, and reading about Zacchaeus, and about blind Bartimaeus, and all these different ones. They're reading it here and saying, I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. I'm a believer. I believe God. Praise God. I'm a believer. And then here God is standing in their midst with the gift of the age of their day.
Yes, sir.
And they can't recognize him.
Yes, sir.
They wouldn't have believed it back there. No matter how much they read it and they say they believe it, they would not have believed it. The Bible said they wouldn't. The Bible says if you would have believed Moses, you would have believed me.
That's right.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
That's the word of God. That was the word of God speaking out through a man.
Amen.
And his name was Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
The very God of heavens and earth, the very creator of heavens and earth, was standing before them.
Yes, sir.
And they refused the gift. He was the gift.
Right.
He was the gift giving himself to the world. And they were turning it away.
Yes, sir.
But when the gift is given to the church receives it. Then it's a golden age for the church. That's what this is. This is the greatest time when we can capitalize on what God has done in this last day.
Yes, sir.
When we can embrace it, when we can take it. And you know, I keep pointing to these books over here. And I was going to say, because he's going to mention Cain and Abel not having a Bible. And I think about that. They didn't have nothing. They didn't have nothing, yet they got revelation. They received revelation from God. We got revelation stacked up in books, on books, on books, on books, on recordings. Over 1,000 messages by the voice of God for us. To know God, to hear God, to recognize God. We have it.
Yes, sir.
And people refuse.
Yep.
They'll listen to somebody. They'll listen to Billy Graham, or they'll listen to some Joe Blow or somebody else or somebody else.
All right.
And don't get me wrong. There's good preachers out there. People are listening to these messages. That's good. We appreciate that. But don't fail. Don't fail to hear the prophet. Because
right.
That's what we're talking about. There's too many people, and they're already doing it with this AI. They're already doing it with this AI. They have the ability to take that voice.
Yep.
They have the ability to take our voice.
Yes, sir.
They can take Brother Goomba's voice, my voice, anybody's voice,
right.
And say something different than you said.
That's right. Yep.
That's right. They do. They're already doing it to Brother Branham. So, you got the messages. They can't touch that. They can't touch that. You got the recordings. They can't touch that. They can put out new ones, but they can't touch what we already have. Be careful. God has sent a gift in this day, and the devil knows it, but many people don't know it. That's right. The devil knowed it, and the devil sent his people,
right.
Astrologers, and they came to the prophet and they told him, "You know you got a gift?" And he said, I don't want nothing to do with this. You know, he done, the preachers don't know nothing about God. So when God's doing something, the preachers told him it was the devil. So the astrologers told him, said, when you were born, said there was two stars that crossed. And said when those stars crossed, said a gift dropped on the earth. Same thing happened with Jesus. Is that right? Those astrologers, those men in that day that seen it, they traveled for 2 years. Do you think they were convinced?
Yes, sir.
Do you think they were convinced that God was doing something, that they put their life on hold and they traveled for 2 years,
yes, sir,
to find this gift?
Yes, sir.
Praise God.
Amen.
Can we go 2 hours? Can we go 2 days?
Amen.
How long can we go?
Right.
How convinced are we? When we get convinced, when we get a revelation from God, there's nothing going to change it.
Right.
Nothing's going to change it.
Amen.
I got a quote. I didn't bring it today. I'm going to bring it another day. But I'm going to paraphrase it. And I keep doing this. I keep paraphrasing the quotes, and I come back later and read them. And you already know them. Of course, you already know them anyway, so it doesn't matter. But Brother Branham said, nobody has the right to preach, to testify, to call themselves a Christian, to do any of these things. Nobody has a right to do that until you have a revelation,
yes,
that no man can change your mind. That you have a revelation that is so real to you that you know it's the truth, and it don't matter, the whole world turns against you.
Right.
You know that God has spoken, and you're standing on that.
Yes, sir.
And he's talking about the message.
Yes, sir.
That's right. The message of every age. That's what the people of the age did. They surrendered. They sold out. They gave their life. Many died for their testimony. You got to die too.
Right.
You got to die to yourself. A living sacrifice. That's the Bible.
Yes, sir.
People don't want it. Brother Branham said, Brother Branham, he identified it because it was the voice of God speaking in this day, and he identified it. He said, people don't want it.
Right.
They don't want you to be changed. They don't want the Holy Ghost to get a hold of them and change their desire. They like what they have. They want what they have. He said, they're afraid of it. They're afraid that thing gets a hold of them, they're going to be a different person. Well, that's exactly right.
Yes, sir.
They talk about it, but they stand back from, they don't want to get too close.
Right.
That's why they don't read. That's why they don't pray. They don't spend time with God.
Right.
Listen what he said about that day. Israel was living in its golden age under Solomon. All Israel glorified God because of this marvelous gift. It was perfectly operating, and they could see the results, and that it wasn't something that was just a put on. It was a real gift of God.
Amen.
Praise be to God. Solomon wasn't this supernatural being that was walking around like, I'm the one. God sent me. He was just a man.
Yes, sir.
He had trials. He had troubles. He had challenges.
Yep.
Everything you go through, he had all of that. He made his mistakes.
Yep.
But he's the one that God chose to manifest the gift.
Yes, sir.
And that's where it was. You say, well, I don't like him as a person. I don't like him as this. I don't like him as that. And they come to Brother Ram and say, oh, I like you as a person, but... Yeah. He surrendered to the gift. He prayed for that gift. God put it on him to pray for that gift, to lead the children of God. And God, because of that desire and that request that he had, that it was for the people. God granted it. Where did he get that desire at? Where do you get it at? Where do you get that desire, huh? He gives that to you. Then he fulfills it in you. And then he calls you righteous for doing it.
Right.
Praise be to God. He's so wonderful. See, now, let's go. Let's make another little stop here. That was a gift in Solomon's day. God was the gift in him, operating through him. See, now in the things that are to be, I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And people say that, yeah, and many of them do. Not all of them do. Many of them do. See, but they have it for another day. See, that still has nothing to do with it. Huh? Well, wait a minute. I thought that had everything to do with it. That's what we thought, isn't it? We thought that was everything. You get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That was okay back there. But now we found out that this day we got something greater than a baptism.
Right.
First, let's see what he said this was. Huh? That don't have nothing to do with it. That's just only a temporal gift.
Right.
Huh? That was a gift. God poured out his spirit. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
On what?
All flesh.
All flesh, the wheat and the tares.
Right.
They all got it. They all got anointed. They all got baptized.
Right.
Yeah, it was a gift. It was a gift that God poured out according to the word to those prophets back there in the Old Testament, spoke and said it was going to happen, and it happened.
Right.
Happened in that day, happened in this day.
Right.
Here come again in the last days. He poured out a spirit upon all flesh to finish it up before he himself come to indwell in his people.
Right. Yes, sir.
Yes. Not as a temporal gift, not as a baptism, but as a literal life. It was the life of God coming into the people. Not on them, but in them.
Yes.
There's a difference between your spirit being anointed,
right,
and your soul being changed.
Yes, sir.
There's a difference.
Right.
See, the real gift, that was a temporal gift. The real gift is your soul down in there, see? That was born to God. And that controls the whole thing to the Word of God and the will of God. What does? The soul.
Yes.
The soul controls the whole thing. Brings you in subjection to the Word of God.
Amen.
Praise be to God.
Yes, sir.
That's where we are today. That's the revelation. See? Not your flesh. Not your spirit.
That's right.
That soul. That soul down in there. That's the eternal part. That's the part that God is working on.
Amen.
See? And there you grow up. And then you're a son and a daughter of God. You're a child of God. And these things, see, as you come up, like the mother now, you're in the bowels of the earth trying to come forth, and you're a son of God coming forth, and you see the word says, I should do this. I should be born again, see? That's right. Well, I belong to church. That don't mean one thing. I'm a Methodist. My mother. That's good for your mother. I'm a Pentecostal. I belong to that. If you don't line with that word, there's something wrong. See?
Amen.
There's something wrong with that soul.
Yep.
If you don't line with the word. See? And then you see your real father in God. Because that real start in your soul. Before there was even a spirit, it was your soul. Where did that come from? From God.
Amen.
That right?
Yes, sir.
And if it comes from God, then it's the word of God. And it obeys the Word of God. It leads you in the Word of God.
Amen.
If that soul didn't come from God, then there wasn't a germ of God to begin. You're deceived.
Right.
If that soul didn't come from God, is not a part of God, eternal with God.
Right. Amen.
See, you're deceived. You're in a patch of weeds, bearing the world's record of the weeds coming forth. Acting like the world, loving the world, is because of the love of God. It's not even in you. That's right.
Yes.
Huh?
That's right.
And now, there'll be false anointed ones in the last days, not false Jesus. They wouldn't stand for that, but false anointed. They're anointed, yes. Yes, sir. But they're antichrist. They're anointed with what? The Spirit.
Yep.
They're anointed with the Spirit of God. So how are we going to tell? How are we going to tell if they're genuine or not? See, they're anointed with the Spirit to do the signs and wonders that Christ did. But they won't line up with the Word. Huh? See, there's the problem. They won't line up with that Word. They got the true Spirit. They're anointed. But when you give them the word test, they don't want it. They can't take it. That's right. This is not a new thing that's happening. This is not a new standard that's being set. This is Genesis to Revelations just happening over and over and over again. Abel came by revelation. Every true believer in the Old Testament and the New Testament came by revelation.
Yes, sir.
That's right. And it was a revelation of God in their day.
Yes, sir.
What God was doing in their day. God did not have this plan that in Noah's day, he was going to destroy the earth, and so he was going to raise up a prophet, and that prophet was going to build a boat and all the people were going to get on it and sail to safety and then let 100 or 1,000 years go by, and he was going to raise up a Moses or another man, and he was going to build a boat and everybody was going to get on the boat and go through another flood, and then 1,000 years later, another prophet's going to come and he's going to build a boat and everybody's going to get on it and they're going to go to safety again. No. Read your Bible. God revealing more of Himself in every age through every prophet.
Yes, sir.
It's always something new.
Right.
It's never the same thing over. It's always something unfolding more of God.
Right.
Unfolding more so that you know God in a greater way.
Yes, sir.
That's what's so great about this day.
That's right.
It is. Moses longed. He longed. While he was sitting there in the palace looking out the window at those people, he was wondering, where is their God?
Right.
Where is our God? He heard the stories his mother told him about this great God, Jehovah. And he wanted to meet this God. He wanted to see this God.
Yes, sir.
And he wandered for 80 years. And then that God revealed Himself.
Yes, sir.
And that God put upon him something that he didn't want.
Right.
He said, I can't do this. He was so full of this natural carnal. But did he go?
Yes, sir.
There was something down in there pushing. There was something down in there that he couldn't resist.
Yes,
there was something. He seen the bush with his own eyes. He heard the voice with his own ears. He knew that this God that he had been waiting for, had found, he'd been begging for it, crying for it, desiring it with all of his heart. And now here he was, standing in the presence of this great Creator.
Amen.
He had to go.
Yes,
even though he didn't want to do it, he had to go. And he went right down there, and God kept His Word. God fulfilled His Word.
Right.
There's some of those characters. When we think of Moses now, many people, we immortalize him. What a prophet. What a man. What I want you to think about is, go back before the Red Sea. Go back before the firstborn died. Go back to that man who's standing out there in the desert feeding his father-in-law's sheep.
Yes, sir.
And God is sending him with a stick.
Right.
Go back there. Everybody now thinks Moses, what a man, what a prophet, what a God he was to the earth. Go back there. He was a man.
Yes.
He was a man that had a stick, that had a commission from God to go down there and destroy the greatest nation in the world.
Yes,
That's the man I like. That's the man I'm excited about. After you get all of that behind you, then that's where he failed. After he'd done all the great supernatural, then he took it upon himself to do it. But before he did anything, he didn't want to do it. I can't do it. I know I'm nothing. No. Huh? God said, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. You just go and do what I say. That's powerful, isn't it? Yeah, isn't that just, when you think about it, right. When you think about it. And he had there was no glory to that Moses. There was no respect for that Moses. No, they already was mad at him. You know, he killed an Egyptian and he ran away for 40 years. They were complaining about him before he left. Oh, you're going to kill me like you killed the Egyptian? Huh? The Egyptians wanted to kill him. His own people didn't like him. And God now is sending him back and telling him. All the circumstances are always against the revelation.
Right.
Huh? The revelation. It's against the revelation.
Yes, sir.
Many will come. See? Let's see. Did we get all of that? Let's just read that red one more time. They're anointed with the Spirit to do signs and wonders that Christ did. But they won't line with His Word. Yeah, they're anointed. They come with powerful ministries. They speak swelling words. They can do great things. But they don't line up with the Word. That's the difference. Isn't it the difference with us? We're not worried about how anointed you are. We're not worried how powerful you are. We're not worried how many miracles you have. No, we're listening to the Word. What are you saying? Huh? That's all we're concerned about. We're concerned about the revelation.
Yes, sir.
If you wanted a good preacher, there's plenty of them out there. You want great big guys, there's plenty of them out there. You can find many. And I'm not saying we're the only ones has the Word. I believe we do. But I believe that this bride is made up of every nation, every tongue, every kindred,
yes, sir.
Every tribe around the world of every nation.
Yes, sir.
God's not leaving out one. His bride is going to be of every tongue, every tribe.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
Many
will come to me in that day and say, Lord, have not I prophesied and cast out devils in your name? And he say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never even knew you. Yes. And you know what that means. You know that he knows all things. You know that he knows everybody.
Yes, sir.
But he's telling them he don't know them.
Right.
We know why he don't know them by a revelation.
Yes, sir.
And they don't even know. Well, they don't have the revelation.
Nope.
They are not in a relationship. That's what the word means. To know means to be in a relationship.
Yes, sir.
He knows you. He knows you. He invites you into himself.
Right.
You can't come any other way. He accepts you. I read that quote this morning several times. Read it last night several times. You do not accept him. He accepts you.
Amen.
He draws you. He brings you. He accepts you into himself.
Yes, sir.
I just tell Brother Goomba, I like this. Something you've been preaching, brother. And... I always like when I get around Sister Edith and Brother Richard because they like to talk about the Word. And Sister Edith has said this on two different occasions. She said it the other day, and then she said it yesterday. And she said that when Brother Goomba was preaching about that, the rapture, and he was saying, he was doing his hands. How did he do his hands? He said it was coming together. It was coming together like this. And he said, then it just comes together and comes into him. And and every time she did that, every time she was telling me that she did this, she said, it just comes together and it comes into him.
Amen.
And I thought, yeah, that's the whole message right there. There it is, right? It just comes into him.
Amen.
That's the rapture. Where are you going? Where are you going when you're raptured? Huh? Into heaven. Is that right? Everybody wants to go to heaven. That's where they're going, right? Into the clouds. They're going into him. Okay. Now, this is in the rapture message, and I don't know if we got plenty of time, so we might get through at least this message. I got more after that, but at least this message. But to the church, the bride, huh? Now we know which church he's talking about, because we know there's a nominal church, and we know there's a spiritual church.
Right.
So now, to the church, the bride, the rapture is a revelation to her. See? It's revealed to her that the revelation, the true bride of Christ, will be waiting for that revelation of the rapture. Now, that's quite a statement.
Yes,
sir. And so the only way you can be waiting for something, looking for something, is that you know it's out there. You know it's coming, right?
Right.
And so the scripture says that there was a shout that went out to wake those virgins up. Is that right? To wake them up and tell them, behold, the bridegroom cometh. He's come. So you need to prepare yourself now to come meet him because he's come. And so that's what they did. They arose and they awoke. Is that right? We were talking about that the other day. Right? In the seals, he said the bride hasn't had a revival to awaken her. But then, within the year, he says, the bride is awoke. And they haven't recognized it. They haven't recognized, this is how he said it, they haven't recognized the awakening of the bride.
Huh?
So, now, probably many of the people in the bride hadn't recognized it either. Huh? But what he's saying is that the revelation has come forth. And is revealing. He's claimed his bride, and it's awoken her, it's shook her. And the revelation has begun to come into her. The revelation has begun to draw her unto him, to bring them into him. But to the church, the bride, the rapture is a revelation to her. Now, this phrase, rapture is a revelation. Can you believe that Brother Branham only said this in 4 messages? Huh? That, you know, he knew for years the rapture is a revelation. But you know the first time he said it was in July of 1965? And that if you put it in the search engine, there's only five hits. He actually, the phrase is there 8 times, but it's only in those 4 messages. Anointed ones at the end time, invisible union, works as faith expressed, and the rapture. Those are 4 powerful messages, full of revelation, and he's making this statement, and he really drives it home in this message, the rapture message. And so he's known all along, but it's like he's drawing our attention to this and making sure that we don't miss this, that I said the rapture is a revelation. That's what he's saying here, but that's not the quote that I'm looking at. The quote is, faith is a revelation. That's what, there's 5 hits that he said 8 times in 4 messages. That's what I'm talking about. I'm sorry, I got ahead of myself. But here, the rapture is a revelation. Of course, he's never said this before. This is just now, he's fixing to go off the scene. This is 1965, December 1965, and he preaches the rapture message in Yuma, Arizona, and he makes these astounding statements. The rapture is a revelation to her. See, it's revealed to her that the revelation, the true bride of Christ, will be waiting for the revelation of the rapture. See? Now, it is a revelation. For the revelation is faith. Now, he only said it like that. Revelation is faith one time. You cannot have a revelation without it being faith. He only said that one time. Now, here we go. Faith is a revelation. Right? Now, this is what he said 8 times in 4 messages in the last 6 months of his ministry. Seemed like such a simple little thing. Why did it wait to come in those great powerful messages? Why was he trying so hard to get that across to the people? Faith is a revelation because it's something that's revealed to you. Faith is a revelation. Faith is something that's been revealed to you. He's repeating himself. Like it was to Abraham, that could call anything contrary to what had been revealed to him as though it wasn't. Huh? Anything that was revealed to Abraham, he was able to cancel out everything else. Like I said a minute ago, Brother Branham said, you have got to believe the message, this revelation, in such a way that nobody can touch your revelation. Nobody can touch your faith. Nobody can make you doubt it. Nobody can change your mind. That's right. Brother Branham, they came to Brother Branham and they said to him, once he got out on the field and he began traveling, those hard years when he was beginning young, but once he got out there on the road and began touring the world, the United States first and then the world, and then the preachers come in. They see God blessing something and doing something great. So they got to come straighten it out. Yeah, they got to come straighten it out. And they said, Brother Branham, this Holy Ghost you're preaching, they said, that was for the disciples. That's not for today. He said, brother. He called him brother. He said, brother, if you would have come to me just a few years ago, he said, I might have believed you. But he said, it's too late. I got it. I already got it. I got the Holy Ghost. And I know that it's real. And it's living in me. And it's the one who's doing this gift. And it's the one that's healing the people and doing these things. Right. Said, so you're too late. Right. Praise be to God. Did that man shake him? Not at all. Okay. Are they going to shake you? Not at all. No. Amen. Faith is a revelation. It's something that's revealed to you. Amen. Now faith, that's what faith is. Is the revelation of God, and the church is built upon a revelation. The whole entire body.
Yes, sir.
So that group of people that's made up of every nation, every tribe, every tongue, all of them, that's the whole body, and all of them come to him by revelation.
That's right.
There's none come any other way. There's no other way to come. You must come by revelation. It must be revealed to you. You want to be in the rapture? It's got to be revealed.
Yes, sir.
Now I'm going to jump out of the rapture and come to works as faith expressed. Now faith is a revelation from God. Now faith is a revelation. Notice how he keeps repeating in these messages? Now I already read some of these. I think we already read out of Invisible Union in a previous service of these 4 messages. And so, I know I've read out of 2 of them anyways, I think. So, anyways, now we're reading out of 2 here, and he is saying the same thing, exactly the same way, and repeating it and stressing it. Faith is a revelation from God. And that's why I want to stay there just a moment. It's a revelation. He has revealed it to you by his grace. Yeah, this one we had already read, and I put it back in here just for this. Just for this. It's nothing you did. Huh? This revelation you got. This faith that you have. It's nothing that you did. You didn't work yourself up into it. You never have faith. It's given to you by the grace of God. And God reveals it to you. Therefore, faith is a revelation. Huh? And it's given to you by grace. That's the beauty of it. See? The whole church of God is built upon the revelation. See? It's not because you chose this or you chose that or you did this or you did that. No. It's because God gave you faith. He gave you revelation. That's what makes you believe this message today. That's what made them believe Jesus Christ was the Son of God. That's what made them believe that Elijah was the prophet. That's what made 2 out of 2 million believe Moses was God to the people. Rapture, paragraph 67. Here a few weeks ago, I was talking to a fine Baptist minister, and he come up to discuss with me, and he said, I like you as a man, but said, you're all mixed up. And I said, well, then I pray you help me to get straightened out. And he said, with the scripture. And Brother Man was saying, I want you to straighten me out now. You just bring it on. And this made me think, years ago, I met a big man. He was the number 2 man in Brother Biscoe's church. I shouldn't call names, but anyways, that's what he was. And we had met, I don't remember if we met in India or, I know we met over here in Rutherfordton, and we talked, and he was in charge of, at least partially, with the books in India, and we couldn't get in. We went there, we give him money, about $800, and they wouldn't give him the brothers any books because of their doctrine. Same thing they did in Kenya, same thing they're doing here. They were trying to classify them out, wanting to find out their doctrines. And so they asked them, do you believe in polygamy? Do you believe in baptism? Do you believe in this? Do you believe in that? And so then they said, well, we're not going to support these guys. And so that's not how the prophet did it. And that's not how you're going to win them. You can't win them if you're not going to let them have the books and the tapes. Huh? Let them keep reading. If they got something wrong, the Holy Ghost will get them. The Holy Ghost will straighten them out.
Yes, sir.
That's right. So anyways, this guy, I told him, I said, brother, we want you to come. I talked to Brother Holmes. I said, this man, what do you think about him? Come. He said, yeah, bring him. So then he gave it to me and said I could get him there. So now I talked to him, and the brother was like, you're just real iffy. And I said, brother, come. And so I wanted him to preach, take several services, take a few days, whatever. And he said, oh, man, you're going to really work me. Yeah? And so these guys, they're so big, and they got so much money. They're used to flying around the world for 1 or 2 services. Preach a couple services and fly back and fly here and fly there, and that's all wonderful. But that's a lot of money. Brother Branham said he wasn't going to fly across the ocean to preach 1 or 2 services.
Right.
He said, no. If they want the word, let me come preach.
Yep.
So finally I got him. I nailed him down. Said he's coming. He's going to come preach. I said, that's great, brother. We're so excited. We're looking forward to it. So before he got here, he stops in South Carolina. Oh, that was sad. So then they filled him up on marriage and divorce and this and this and this and this. And he called me up and said, brother, does your pastor have so many wives? I said, brother, actually he has one. You know, because there's revelation there they don't even understand. That the prophet said all of David's 500 was one. So that's the revelation. So that's how many I got. That's how many you got. Until you do like David and get another man's, then you got 2. So, but anyways, I said, well, brother, he said, that's wrong. I said, well, brother, I'm inviting you to come and as many services as you want. And I'm kind of, maybe Brother Holmes wouldn't put up with that long, but anyways, Brother Holmes told me I could invite him. So I told him, I said, you come and you show us. where it's wrong. You show us what's right. You say it's wrong. We want you to go in the message and preach it to us. I'm inviting you to come. Feel free. Whatever God puts on your heart, come preach it. Y'all remember him coming? He didn't come, did he? No, he didn't. I never come. No. No. Brother Branham told him, said, bring it. I want to be straight. I want to be straight. Show me if I'm wrong. He said, we'll never be able, Brother Branham, to get things together till we get every word upon word upon word exactly with the Greek and so forth. Now that's just a sad day, isn't it? Huh? That's a sad day. And that's just like, how about the Old Testament? That's exactly what they thought in that day, in Jesus' day. No, that we got to get this word and this word and this word. They had already divided it up. Don't think anything's changed. Those Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes and Herodians and how many more we don't know, they had divided it up. Some of them believed in angels, some of them didn't. Some believed in the resurrection, some of them didn't. Some of them thought he was Elias, some of them thought he was Jeremiah. Some of them thought he was another one of the prophets. Some of them even thought that he was John the Baptist raised from the dead. That's how many ideas they had. Don't think anything's different today. No, all the ideas are there. How are we going to know? Because we know Greek. I work for a Presbyterian lady, very, very smart. She can play those big, big organs that fill walls and go 20, 30 feet, the pipes do. And she said, our preachers cannot even preach until they've learned the Hebrew and the Greek. And I thought, well, that's wonderful. We don't let ours preach unless they got the revelation.
Amen.
They got to have a revelation that God has spoken in this day.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. You, it's a revelation. The whole thing, see? The whole thing is a revelation. He said, I cannot accept revelation. I said, then how can you accept Christ? See, he said, why, the Bible said, he that believeth on Jesus Christ has everlasting life. Look at there, how's that? That's the scripture. That's the scripture. That scripture's true.
Right.
Yeah. Whosoever believeth on Jesus Christ is saved.
Right.
But millions of people who say it are lost.
Yes, sir.
I said that is true. It also says that no man can call Jesus Christ the Christ, Jesus the Christ, only by the revelation of the Holy Ghost. So how much of the Bible are we going to take? Are we going to take half of it? Or are we going to take all of it? Huh? See, there you are. Right back again. It falls right back to the revelation. It's got to be revealed. See, Cain and Abel didn't have a Bible to read. Think about it. It must have been thousands of years. I don't know how long it was. I don't know how long it was, but they didn't have a Bible.
Right.
But here was a man walking on the earth when nothing had been killed. Is there any record of anything being killed up to that time? I don't know of anything. Nobody had killed anything. And this man gets a revelation from God to kill a lamb and sacrifice that lamb to God. You imagine. And you, when you look at what Cain did, it would be so much easier to believe Cain had the right thing. He had a beautiful sacrifice. Same, they have beautiful sacrifices today. They have beautiful churches. They have beautiful speeches. They have beautiful this and beautiful that. And God's not in beauty. God is in character. When you think you're going to impress God or God's people with beauty, you have missed it.
Yes, sir. That's right.
It's character.
That's right.
Get your life in line with the Word of God. Cain and Abel didn't have a Bible to read, but it was revealed to Abel by faith, which is a revelation. Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than that of Cain, which God testified that he was righteous. Amen. Praise God. They didn't have what we have. They didn't have the fullness. All he had one little revelation for that day, and that's all he needed. But now you got it stacked up. Stacked up. Piled up.
Right.
You can know so much. You can meet God face to face. Yes. It's right there for you.
Amen.
You can take this Bible and open it up and read it and understand what it says.
That's right.
That's right. That book of Revelations that they couldn't understand for the last 2,000 years, you can understand it now. You can read it. You can know what those symbols are. You can know what those prophecies are. You can know what those things mean.
Right.
Yes. Why? Because the seals have been broken.
Yes, sir. That's exactly right.
When Jesus was asked here in Matthew 16, verse 17 and 18, we haven't time to read it. See, he said, "Who does man say I, the Son of Man, am?" And one of them said Moses and Elijah and so forth. And he said, who do you say that I am? Let me tell you something. God loves to hear you testify of who he is.
Amen. Yes,
he does. He likes it.
Yes, sir.
God likes it. God likes it just like a man or a woman likes for their partner, their mate, to acknowledge them or brag on them or to say they love them or to whatever it is.
That's right.
It's not a one-way street. Both of them like it.
Right.
So is it with God.
Yes, sir.
Because God put something in you. God give you the gift. He give you the grace. He give you the righteousness. He give you the revelation. He give you all of it. It's all from him.
Amen.
And now he wants you to testify of what he gave you.
Yes,
it's the easy part, isn't it?
Yep.
It's the easy part. Yeah. We're just testifying.
Amen.
That this is God in word form.
Right.
Huh? God in word form. And when you read it, the Spirit will quicken it and make it alive.
Amen.
And you can read in those pages in word form where the Spirit did continually, over and over, quicken the word and bring it to pass.
Yes, sir.
God loves to hear you testify. He said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And he said, "Blessed art thou, Simon. And blessed are you."
Amen.
Blessed are we.
Yes.
Huh? When we speak the word, when we speak the revelation that God has given us.
That's right.
Blessed are you. Blessed art thou, Simon, son of Jonas, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this to you. My Father which is in heaven has revealed this to you. And upon this rock, the spiritual revelation of who God is. Of who Jesus is. He is the revelation of God. God made in flesh and revealed to the world.
Amen.
Praise be to God. Is that right?
Right?
What is he revealing? He's revealing to you. That's the revelation. He's revealing to you God in flesh.
Right.
He reveals to you what God prophesied for your day. Now, as much nonsense as I hear out there from different preachers, and I don't listen to them, but I catch a little something here and there, and there's some really smart ones, but I don't hear none of them looking to go back to the Red Sea and try to part it again. If anything, they're trying to prove whether it really happened. I don't hear any of them wanting to build a boat, huh? But they're trying to prove if that one was real.
Yes, sir.
So None of them are wanting to go do those things. Yeah, they say they believe that, right? Think about it. God has a word today. God is revealing himself today. He's not, he's not here to reveal William Branham or any of the rest of us, although he is, because he's in us. He's here to reveal himself. That's what he's doing. That's what people miss. They think, oh, well, you're trying to get yourself. No, we are here to recognize the presence of Jesus Christ in this day.
Yes, sir.
This is the form. This is the message. This is him. That's him.
Yes, sir.
This is how he promised. This is how the Bible said he would do today. This is what the Bible said would happen today.
Right.
Praise God. It's right. That's what Jesus was trying to do. He was trying to convince them that those prophets were talking about me.
Right.
Everything I've done is what they said.
Yes,
and they didn't believe it. But they knew it. They knew the word. They could quote it. They could tell you every scripture. They could read it backwards, forwards, all of that stuff.
Right.
Imagine that. They knew the word of God. And he's trying to tell them. That was me. That's me. That's me. He said, show me where I failed to do one word. Show me where I'm one word off.
Amen.
Thou art the Christ, the anointed one, the Son of God. See? He said, flesh and blood never revealed this to you, but my Father, which is in heaven, has revealed this to you. And upon this rock, see, the revelation of the word in its season. Praise God. In its season. Always in its season. See, I'll build my church. See, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. That's right. You just think when Elijah had them down there, and they had all that 400 or 450 prophets there, and they had been all morning long and into the afternoon, they had tried to make that sacrifice to God to come down and take that sacrifice, and they had beat on it and beat on it until they tore it down and they cut themselves and they got blood and then did all of those things. You didn't hear anybody talking about the word of another day. They weren't talking about, well, hey, we believe Noah. We believe this. We believe that. We believe this. No. Right now. Who is God right now? Who is he? Is the Methodist God? Is the Baptist God? And you can't take all of them and say they're all right. No, you can't do that. Because they're all different. Yeah, they all claim Jesus, so do we. Huh? You want to walk away from this message? We believe this whole Bible. Every bit of it. We believe more this Bible than any denomination ever has or ever will.
That's right.
Because they don't even have a clue what's been revealed.
Right.
They don't have a clue.
That's right.
Many, as far as I know, all the denominations are still back there saying that Eve ate an apple.
Yep.
But the theologians, to make this thing better, as they always do, they keep upgrading it to an apricot or a pear. One day we had this commentator. His name was Paul Harvey. And I heard him one time years ago. I was working over at Arnell Homes. And he said it wasn't an apple. He said it was a pear. Now, wait a minute. He said it was a pear on the ground. It was two people. And two sons came by. Two sons were produced by this fruit that they ate. And the prophet had a way to go dig into those scriptures. Go dig into those scriptures and bring out the key to unlock those things. And you would think how he goes over here in Proverbs and he says, such is the way of the adulterous woman. Huh? Huh? She eateth.
That's right.
Now, what does an adulterous woman eat? Adultery. Right. She's in adultery.
Right.
Such is the way of the adulterous woman. She eateth and wipeth and say, I've done no evil.
Right.
That's one of many, many keys that unlock that door.
Yep.
Yeah, it just unlocks the door. It's a symbol that shows you what's happening. And then the prophet comes along and he says, well, now, let's just look in the genealogy here. Well, Cain's not in the genealogy in Genesis 5. And then you go to the New Testament in Luke, and Cain still hasn't made it into the genealogy.
That's right.
He's gone through thousands of years in the Old Testament, and now he's in the New Testament, and he still hasn't got into the genealogy. And you get over to the end of the New Testament, and John, that spiritual one, and he said, Cain, who was of that evil one.
Right.
Ooh. Where did he come from? See how it was a mystery? It was a mystery hidden in there. And that was just one of many, 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 many things. And God's just revealing it and revealing and revealing.
Yes,
and we are the blessed to get it all in this last day. Amen. Praise be to his name.
Amen.
Paragraph 74. The book of Revelations is the last book of the Bible. And it's sealed to unbelievers. In there, the Bible says, the 22nd chapter, whosoever shall take one word from it or add one word to it, I'll take his part from the book of life. And we realize it was all together given for believers. And it opens the book of Revelations and reveals who the author of this entire book is. And he is to look upon as Alpha and Omega, from Genesis to Revelations. Jesus Christ the same, right straight through, huh? He don't change. He's the same all the way through. That's right. And reveals his complete mystery of himself and his plans for his church ages that's to come. And was sealed in there by the seven seals. Huh? That's what he was doing back there 2,000 years ago. Sealing in there the mystery of these seven church ages that were going to be revealed when the seals were opened. And they were. And it's done. It's history now. That's all revealed, all made known. Yes. See, the book was written, but then remember, it was sealed with seven seals. And these seven seals was not to be opened, Revelations 10, until the sounding of the last earthly angel on earth, Revelations 10:7. And in the days of the sounding of the last angel's message, the seventh angel, the mystery of God should be finished at that age. Is that right? He's the Bible. He's in the Bible. He's telling us what the Bible says. Now the question is God, if God has spoken and said, in the last church age, in the seventh church age, there's going to be the seventh messenger, the seventh angel, and he's going to finish the mystery of God. Now, is there going to be somebody on the earth that can believe God's able to do that? Or is it going to be like the preacher today or like Sarah? No, God can't do this. We're going to have to do it. Let's just get the Greek, every word, word for word, word for word, word for word. Let's go to this Bible college and that Bible college and this great theologian. And you know, this man, he can quote almost the whole Old Testament, and he can quote all the New Testament. I remember when I was a kid, I was listening to this guy, and they had him on television, and I was just a young man, and he knew the whole New Testament and most of the Old Testament. And you could ask him and he'll tell you. You could tell him the chapter and the verse, he'd tell you what the scripture was. You tell him what the scripture was and he'd tell you the chapter and the verse. You imagine? That's not a revelation. That's wonderful. I'd love to have it. Huh? Paul had something like that. But Paul counted it as dung once he got the revelation.
That's right.
Because he knew what the revelation was. He knew what the revelation meant.
Yes, sir.
You've got to have it. There's nothing more important in your life than the revelation.
That's right.
Getting the revelation from God. See, the mystery of God should be finished, in that age. Not another age. Could never be done in any other time but that age. See, and that's the age that we're living in. That's right. This was 1965. And we all know we're living in the Laodicea age. See? And there'll never be another age to it. It can't be. So we're living in the Laodicea age, and these seven seals that's held the book is a mystery to the people that should be opened at that day. That's what he promised. Praise be to God. Not William Branham promised. Not any church promised. They had no clue. The churches had no clue what the book of Revelation said. Go back. Check your history. Now they're claiming it. Now they're trying to get something. Why? Because the prophets revealed it. The prophet told them what the symbols were. So they'll take the symbols and they'll take some of what he said and then they'll finish with their little touch. You know? God don't need their touch. There was some young man that came up from South Carolina one time. I think he was related to Brother Holmes or somebody in the church, maybe Sister Jurgen or somebody. And he said he got so mad. He said he worked for this guy, and he said he changed windows and did window replacements. That's what he did. And said every house he'd do, he'd go in there, you know, and he'd have to take everything apart, and he'd do all of the work, all the dirty work. And said then he'd clean up all the mess. He'd put the new window in, done everything. And said, but he said, then his boss would come. And I'm not criticizing this. But he said the job was never right, never done. And said, till the boss come up and put his hands on it, touched it, and said, yeah, we've done a good job here. We've done a good job here. That's the churches. That's what the churches do with the Word of God. Yeah. Well, God, you did okay, but we got to touch it. We got to lay our hands on it. We got to give our little sanction that, you know, yeah, that's okay, but, you know, let's dress it up a little more. God don't want none of that. God don't need none of that.
That's right.
God has spoken it, and God is going to reveal it to you
right. Just
the way that it is.
Amen.
Yeah. God knows how to do it. If he can reveal to Abel in the days when there's no Bible, he can reveal it to you when we got all of it in print. Oh, yeah.
Yes, sir.
It's a mystery of himself. That's what it is. 76. We all know we're living in the Laodicean. There'll never be another. And these seven seals that held the book is a mystery. Let's see. Moving down. Oh, okay. Now, it won't be nothing outside the Word. Got that? Remember that now. It won't be outside of the Word. And so before we ponder too far into that, I want to ask you a question. Who is the Word?
He's the Word.
Is that right? John 1:1. We're in the Scripture. Revelation says you can't add to and you can't take away. See? So Brother Branham is saying it's not going to be different than the Word. It's going to be in the Word. Is that right? Absolutely. It's in the Word. That's what they're missing. That's what they missed in Jesus' day. That's what they missed in Moses' day. That's what they missed in Abraham's day. That's what they miss in every day. They miss, it's in the Word. The Scripture has already prophesied. That's right. Now, in Abel's day, it wasn't because there was no written Word. But it was the Word because it came from the Word, because He is the Word.
Yes, sir.
Is that right? So whatever comes forth, whatever else is revealed, whatever interpretation is needed there has to come from Him.
Right.
It has to come from Him. It won't be nothing outside the Word because you can't add to the Word or take away from the Word. See, it's got to remain always the Word. But the revelation is to reveal the truth of it and what it is to make it fit the rest of the Scripture. Then God vindicates that to be the truth. See? That's right. See? God don't need no interpreter. He's His own interpreter. He does His own interpretations. See, by bringing to pass the things that He said would happen. Now, just like these church ages He was talking about, they were all fulfilled and happened when He revealed it. So we're looking back, and He's revealing the Word and the prophecies. And now, and along with that, we're looking at the history, and we see it's done. And it's all perfect. It was written this way. It was written this way. And it all fits together perfectly. Exactly vindicating the prophecy of what God said would take place.
Right.
You don't need an interpreter. He does his own. See? Like he said, let there be light. See? And that don't need an interpretation. There was light. That was the vindication. That was the proof. See? We didn't need somebody to come explain it and complicate it and say, well, if you do this and you do this and you do this, you can get some light, or you can get this or this. No, he said, let there be light.
Yes,
we don't know if it was 100 years or 1,000,000 years.
Right.
It happened.
Amen.
He spoke it. It happened.
Yes, sir.
Let there be light. And there was light. It was vindicated. He promised certain things in this last days in the scripture. Why, there it was, see? And how Jesus was the Son of God, he promised to send him. And when he was in his days here on earth, the people couldn't believe him. They said, search the scripture, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they that testify. That's right. We had this the other day too. A lot of these things, he just keeps repeating them. And sometimes they're key. And we think, oh, he's just throwing a scripture at it. He's just throwing this at it. No, he's trying to get it across. These things testify of who God is today, what God is doing today. Listen to this, paragraph 79. Well, in Wesley's age, the works that he did testified who he was. Huh? The works that he did testified who he was. In Luther's day on Reformation, why sure. It testified who he was. Yeah? What about Pentecost? In the days of the Pentecostals, the restoring back of the gifts, the restoration of the gifts, the speaking in tongues and casting out devils, the gifts, what did it do? It testified. Azusa Street, when the Spirit was poured out, what did it do? It testified that the Word of God was being fulfilled. Huh? We're looking back at it now. It's already happened. It's already finished. Brother Branham told us, he said, look at what did it do? They denominated. They went right back just like the Lutherans did, just like the Wesleyans did, just like the Methodists did, just like all the rest of them did. They denominated. But did God fail? No. God got some elect out of there. And the life just kept moving right on, moving right on. Huh?
Yes,
see, there was no joke about it. People said, when it first raised up, I read the books in the history, Pentecost, they said, it can't last long. It'll burn down. It's still burning. Why? It's because you'll never put it out, see? God said it would be there. It's that portion of the Word, and no more could you put that out.
Right.
What part's he talking about? He's talking about the life. He's talking about the life that came through Pentecost that continued in to the seed.
Yes, sir.
That's right. Because that was the shuck.
That's right.
That was the shuck that had to die. But the life continued on.
Yes, sir.
And then when... And isn't that a perfect example once again? Mm-hmm. Here God pours out His Spirit. The anointing is on these people. They're baptized with the Holy Ghost. They're speaking in tongues. They're praying for the sick. Supernatural things are happening. And what happens? The theologians come. And they said, okay, now, let's see. Did you speak in tongues? You got to speak in tongues. You got to do this. You got to do this. Oh, you haven't spoken in tongues? You don't have the Holy Ghost. Huh? That's exactly right, isn't it? Isn't that exactly what they do? Yeah. They made this list. And every church has a list. Go ask them. Go to the back. They have a list. This is it. You do this, and you're born again. Put your name on the book, you're saved. Do this, do this, do this. Man gets right in there, denominated that thing, said tongues is the evidence of it, and they died. They died right there, they died. Then when the bride is being called out, see? I'm sorry, I skipped a sentence. It's that portion of the Word, and no more could you put that out, see? And then when the bride is being called out, how are you going to put it out? It's the revelation of the manifestation of the Word made true. And we're living in that day. Praise be to God. The revelation of the mystery of Himself. Praise be to God. Did you get that? Let's read that again. And we're living in that day. Praise be to God. The revelation of the mystery of Himself. Oh, I like it so much. That's right. Okay, now he's kind of getting to the rapture now. I really like what he's saying. And he knows where he's going. Paragraph 81. Now my time's getting short now. So the rapture is only, this rapture that we're talking about is only for the bride. Remember, the Bible said the rest of the dead live not for 1,000 years. This great rapture, if there's not a rapture, friends, where are we at? What are we going to do? What age are we living in? Huh? We know this is it. We know this is the day. This is the hour. Because why? The seals are revealed. The church ages are revealed. We know the messenger has come. Christ has come in the fullness of His Word, in the fullness of the Spirit. He's here. Right? So then we look up and we say, okay, well, what about this and what about that and what about this? What about the rapture? What age are we in? He's assuring us that it has to be. There has to be a rapture because everything else has happened. So where is this? And so when they begin to discern that there's something about this Jesus, there's something about His ministry, there's something happening that we can't explain. And then the Pharisees say one thing, Sadducees say one thing, the scribes come over and the scribes tell them, said, now listen, if this is Him, then this can't be Him because the Bible says, the Scripture says, that Elias must first come. He must come first. So what did Jesus do? He just took the veil off. He just went back in the Scripture there and He told him, He said, yeah, He's already come. And you didn't even know who He was. How about that? And He had a messenger today that's already come. And they don't know who He was. It happened there. It happened again. Nothing new under the sun, said Solomon. Nothing new. Listen to this. There's going to be a rapture. The Bible says there will be. And it'll only be for the elected lady. The bride in this day that's pulled out. Is who it's going to be for. Those that are pulled out. See, the church. Now, the very word church means called out of. You getting that? The word church means called out. That's what it means. Called out. So there's a group of people that's called out. See? Now, as Moses called a nation out of a nation, the Holy Spirit is calling a bride out of a church. This is what God's doing today. And we see it in the Bible. We know it. We see Paul's prophecies being fulfilled, that the things that was going to be revealed, that Christ couldn't come until these things are revealed, and then he would come. And then we see in Revelations there where the thing that's being preached on earth is being echoed in heaven. And the angel was crying out, come out of her, my people. Come out. What was that? What were they coming out of? He's telling us right here. They were called out of these denominational churches. Called out of the Catholic Church. Called out of these different churches. Yes, huh? And called into what? To the Word. Who's the Word? Christ. They're called into Christ. See? The very word church means called out of, and Moses called a nation out of a nation. Is that right? Here was the nation of Israel inside of Egypt. And so he didn't call the Egyptians out. He called the Israelites out, a nation out of a nation. And now he's going to call the church out of a church. Praise be to God.
Amen.
See? Now, the Holy Spirit, who's doing it? Not a man. The Holy Spirit is calling a bride out of a church. A church out of a church. Members from every denomination making up a bride. See? The bride tree. And in the tape, the bride tree, the bride coming out, see? That's the one. The bride, rather, is the one that's going to be in the rapture. That alone. Nothing but the bride. The elected ones. Foreknown by God from the beginning in the Father's genes, spiritual genes. Praise be to God. That's right. Oh, let me just stop here a minute. I keep getting nervous and thinking I'm going to hold you too long, going too long. And I delete that stuff out. And I didn't know it was going to work out right. Here I am, 2 minutes till, perfectly timing. But the reason that I left it is because it dawned on me. As many times as I've read these things, Brother Branham say them, it dawned on me. The same devil bothered him that bothers us. It's the same devil. Huh? Here is the prophet of God with the message of God. And he's saying, oh, I'm getting nervous. I'm worried. I'm going to keep you too long. And we do it over and over. And we keep saying we're not going to do it no more. And we keep doing it over and over. Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
He is defeated.
Yes, sir.
He defeated, yeah. He can keep working on our nerves. And he keep working on all that. And he will.
Amen.
We know that. We can't stop him from doing that. But we have the revelation.
Amen.
We know what it is. We know who he is.
That's, right.
That's the revelation. Yeah. It's revealing who he is. Yes. 83. But notice now, look, each one of you people, do you know years before you were born, you were in your father as a gene? That's right. See, that's right. A germ, a seed was in your father, comes from the male sex, not the female. The female furnishes the egg, a bedding ground. But the germ come from the father. See, my son sitting here, when I was 16 years old, my son was in me. I didn't know him. But he was there. Now through the bedding ground, see, through holy wedlock, he becomes in the image of me. And I know him. And I can fellowship with him. And he come just at the time when it's the right time. So now if you got eternal life, see, you were in God before there was ever a world. You are a part, a son of God, an attribute of God. He know the very age you were coming. He predestinated you to that age and to take that place, and no one else can take it. See, care how many impersonations and things, you've got to be there because he knew you would be there, and now you are made manifest. And now you can fellowship with him. That's what he wants. He's longing for fellowship. He's longing to be worshiped. But if your life did not, always, was an attribute of God, you're just a mimic of Christianity. And there'll be millions and billions of them. They'll just be mimics of Christianity. That's right. Huh? Think about it now.
Yes, sir.
One in a million. 2 million come out of Egypt, and two of the original went in. Is that right? I made a remark that just recently, I was watching Brother Dima Shakarian over there, and they were hybriding cattle. And you know, they got to where they didn't do it natural. A lot of them, especially the big guys, they were doing artificial insemination. And so he's watching this. So they were looking at it under a magnifying glass. And so they were taking the discharge from the male, the gene, the germ, and then they took from the egg, from the female. And so she said, in the literal discharges, I'm going to get this here and then we're going to stop. In the literal discharge of the male, there's somewhat a million germs comes forth from the male each time, and somewhat a million eggs from the female at the same time. But did you know, in all of them little germs moving around, a million of them, there's only one of them ordained to life. And there's only one egg fertile. Listen now. You talk about predestination. You talk about paradox. You talk about one in a million. See, and that little germ will crawl right over up through every other one of them, over other little germs, right over the top of every little germ looking just like him. Just like him. And come over the top of that and come over here and find that fertile egg and crawl into it. And then all of the rest of them die.
Yes, sir.
Praise be to God. Amen. That's before the natural birth. It's one in a million. And the rest die. And then after the natural birth, it's one in a million. And they spiritually die. See, then all the rest of them die. You talk about the virgin birth, that's not half as mysterious as the physical birth, how it's foreordained and predestinated by God. Praise be to God. There you are. See? All right, we're gonna get it right there. He goes on and he talks about the eagle again. And he just, it's so sweet. It's so good. It's so nice. We're so blessed. We just can't say it enough, recognize it enough, appreciate it enough. We are blessed. And we thank God. We thank God for this day and this age. And let us pray one for another that when we look at the natural side, everywhere you look, it's trials and troubles and pressure and problems and upsets and disappointments everywhere you look.
Right.
There's nobody immune. There's nobody that's got a free pass.
Yeah.
It's everywhere. But when we look at this revelation and we look past the flesh and we look past all the problems, we only see Him.
Mm-hmm.
We only see Him. And that's the victory.
That's
and that's the gift. And that's what we want.
Amen.
Let us stand together. Well, I invite Brother Goomer to come and dismiss us this morning. May God bless you. Remember, pray one for another. Let us hold one another up. Amen. God bless you, brother.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. May God bless you. Just two things. And then the third thing is natural. That thing is just natural. One is whenever this is how God works, and that's exactly the truth. It's just been very, very plain. That was a very great message today. That God reveals His message. A mystery comes from heaven. A mystery is revealed from heaven. It comes to one man. One man. One man takes that revelation to the people. Now, it's come very, very well. It's very, very clear that. Whenever people believe in that, God blesses them. Whenever they refuse to believe what God has sent, God calls that sin. They are sinners. Become sin. Before it was revealed, they were not sinners. But as soon as that thing is revealed and people refuse to accept it, they are called sinners by God. That's exactly right.
Amen.
And there's no any other way of God working. He works like that. He reveals one thing to one man and He brings it to the people. People refuse that revelation. That's one. Now, another thing I wanted to say, just because of time, is that's great, Brother Don. The prophet said this, that pray for revelation more than any other thing. Pray for revelation more than, there's no any other way for God dealing with you. It's just revelation.
Amen.
Unless it's revealed to you. And Brother Don, you brought it very well. That if I talk to you in this, and I made you a member of this church, somebody can talk you out of it.
That's right.
But if you're properly founded on the revelation, nobody can move you. You're there. You know it. Nobody can move you. All the devils can come around. You don't care. It's revealed to you. You know it.
Yeah.
You know in you. You know it. It's not somebody that I came here because I'm a sister. I'm the wife of a partner. No. You came here. You are in this because it's open. You know it.
Yeah.
If he goes, he can go. But you're going to be here. If Lord goes, you know it. You belong there. That's a great thing, Father Don, and that was great. The natural thing I was saying is not supernatural, this one. And forgive me for that because it's coming to my mind. I feel like, in the desert, when the people are walking in the desert, there's usually an oasis. They call it an oasis.
Oasis,
is that right? If people are taught in the desert that you go to pass there. If you stray and go to another, you're going to die.
Yes.
Well, the other one is, I don't know where it's at. So there are trails in the desert. And I would call this our church an oasis. We are traveling and it's in the desert, in the wind. We don't know what's happening now. But on Wednesday, there's an oasis. We are given some more strength. Now, on Sunday, it's given more to us. Is it right? This is our oasis. Please, if you believe like that, if you believe this is it, and you know it, and you know that we are studying for the truth, and brother, don't say it very well, it's not only this place, there are other places. We know it's every time, every nation, they are bright everywhere. Amen. But the thing is, can you start with this, the truth, the revealed word, for yourself, this is for you. When you come to church, it's for you. It's for you. You're not helping me, you're not helping the pastor. Sorry, but am I talking bad?
Sorry.
You're not helping the pastor. You're not helping another brother. You're not helping another sister. It's for you. It's for you. It's for you, brother. So can you make an effort? Can you make an effort and make sure this oasis is still bringing water?
Amen.
And if you see anything that is making it not bring that water, would you come and patch it a bit so that it can bring water so that when you pass there next time, because you've got to pass there every time, there's a trail. A trail in the desert. I hope you get that.
Amen.
Now, I say that because I was with Arsenal, and I want to say that I forget those things. I need to forget. And Arsenal is telling me, go and tell the church that I will not be with them. I just look at it and say, that to me, it looks to them like it's very important. Mm-hmm. And I said, sometimes I don't consider this important. I think it's important.
Amen.
I think it's important. Praise God. God tell them to make sure that our oasis is still on and
Amen.
Still good.
Praise God.
Praise God. whenever you don't come, because this you come, this is natural, and forgive me for this. Don is supposed to do this thing. I'm a nobody.
Okay.
But just I'm just saying something that can help us, brothers.
Amen.
I'm just saying something that can help us. If you don't come, I'm disturbed. Me, your brother, I'm disturbed. What would be happening to my sister? Could be he strolled and he missed the way. Could be, and I'm disturbed. And I'm coming to look for you. Would you be? I'm disturbed, brother. I'm disturbed, sister. Would you please let me know that you didn't come, but you're still on the way. You're still coming. You're still following the trail. Would you please let me know? That's you're helping me to not to disturb, to get disturbed. Because I'm praying. I love you. We God said that we are one body. I love you. You love me. We are one. When you're suffering, I'm suffering.
Amen.
When you're missed away, I'm feeling my brother is missed away. What can I do? This is our church. Would you help us? Each one of you, for your own good. To make it start, to make this well continue, bringing this, bubbling this water.
Amen.
Can we do that, brothers? I understand, you miss church. You know, senior don't miss church because she comes and she is there. And that's good, that's good, brother. But it will come a time when you're not here. Is it okay? Let us know. Wherever you are, we'll be praying for you. Wherever you are one with us. And we are praying for you, and we are praying for us. Let's continue being one and in one accord. Another thing I would like to say, because it's coming now, this was not there to come, but it's to come. Whenever I was telling people, whenever you give tithe, you're not helping me. You're not helping the pastor. Sorry. I don't like this. You're not helping the pastor. No. The Bible said that it is you who is bringing protection to the remaining money that you have. Did you get 100 shillings, $100, $100? You wonder why sometimes you have problems. You wonder why you have some problems that you go to run here, put some money there, you don't even know how it's gone. Put another amount of money here, you don't know how matters is going. Sometimes you wonder why is happening? And always you have a hard up, pray for me, have this. Sometimes, yes, not all times, but sometimes you only need to do the right thing. I don't know whether that's correct. You only need to do the right thing. God said, I'll protect it. I'll protect your money. The remaining money, I'll protect it. I will do it. Just do it. Just do your part and you see me how I'm going to do it. That's what he said. I don't know whether it's important, but it's just coming to my mind, brother. Let me just say it. It is helping you, not the pastor, not the church, not anybody else. It's helping you.
That's right.
is protecting you. He's protecting you. He said he's going to throw out, he's going to make sure that those things that eat your animals, my wife, that disturb your animals, I'll put them off. All the diseases to your animals, I'll put them off. All diseases that come to eat your crops, I'll throw them off. I'll make sure that they're not there. I'll do that. Just give me a portion of what you get from there. I don't know why God wants to do business with you. I don't know why, but that is his way of doing it. He's blessing you. He's taking care of you. He's protecting yourself.
Yes.
And it's good to do it.
Yes.
It's good to do. Brothers, it's good to do it. As we pray for one another, it's also good to do that. Don did not send me to say that. I think maybe God did. I don't know. I'm thinking like, I don't know why it came. I don't know why it came. I even don't know where. I don't know why I'm saying it. I'm sorry. But brothers and sisters, let's do it. Let's be one. Let's love one another. Let's be one. Let's be one. Let's be one. Reality one. In real sense, oneness. Let's be one.
Yes.
Let's pray. Jesus, we don't know why you talk the way you talk to us, Lord. But we have realized that is your way of talking to your children. You've talked to us so well this morning, Lord, and sometimes they said in the Bible that in parables you talk to them, and there's no parable you didn't talk to them. And that is true. That is what you did. But to us, Father, I don't know why it seems like you're so open to us, Lord. You've made it so plain. This revelation is so plain, Lord. You've opened up so much, Lord. And that shows love. That shows that you love us. You want us to be in it. You want us to live in it. You want us to be part of it, Lord God. That is your desire. We are here, Father, surrendering ourselves to you, Father. We've seen your love, Lord. And Lord, we've no other alternative but to love you with all that we are, with all that we have, Lord God. We owe you as Father. Take us to yourself, Lord God, and continue revealing yourself to us. And we are here, Father, to receive it, Father, Lord God. We love it, and we continue loving you. Be with us, is our prayer. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray.